Bibles to the Gospel of Mark and the 6th chapter, Mark chapter 6. So we spoke this morning in our lesson and made the observation that the Scriptures really address and relate to every aspect of human existence, every part of our lives in some way or other are addressed by the Scriptures. This morning we talked about that in relation to marital relations and the directions and instructions that the Scriptures provide of how our marriages ought to function. Well, I want to talk to you this evening for a few moments about another aspect of the Scriptures relating to our lives and to every part of our lives. I want to talk to you this evening for a few moments about the Lord and our leisure, and how He does have some things to say to us that would impact the way in which we go about recreating. That word, recreating or recreation, is one of those words that it just by its very makeup pretty much speaks to its meaning. If you break it down, obviously the word recreate is re-create. The idea is to restore or to refresh one's being, to create anew through a period of rest or of relaxation. It is to refresh or to restore in one's body or mind. Now, you might think, well, you know, what does that have to do? Where does the Bible have anything to say about our recreation or our recreation? Where does it have anything to say about our leisure time and how we ought to go about conducting that part of our lives? Well, I think we get a glimpse of this in the 6th chapter of Mark, in verses 30 through 32, where we're told that the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to Him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And they went away in the boat to a lonely place by themselves." Well, I want to use this passage to say something to us about our leisure and seeking our leisure and how we ought to go about this. And but before we discuss this passage any further, I want us to think a little bit about what part leisure really plays and seeking leisure really plays in our lives. It is estimated by those that have done studies of this that for the average American that we spend about 5 hours a day in what could be classified as leisure or recreational periods of time. And certainly this would be different for individuals, but just in a general kind of average of things, some will spend about 17 minutes a day relaxing and thinking. Now, I think I know some people that don't spend 17 minutes a day thinking, but nonetheless, on an average, that's pretty much what we do. Some will play games using a computer, on average about 26 minutes a day. Well, there again, you can see that certainly there are some people that spend far longer than 26 minutes a day on a computer. Others will participate in sports and various kinds. Some will read. Some will socialize. They'll just visit with others for a period of time. The greatest amount of time that we spend in these kind of leisurely activities today is watching TV, and we spend almost 3 hours a day doing that. Well, Exactly what leisure is may be up for debate. Some will spend about 2.5 hours a day in some type of hobby activity. Now, it takes about 4 hours to play a round of golf. So you have to factor in again that the fact that some folks are doing other sorts of things in their leisure. There's 6.8 million people who are members of a book club. There's 196,000 people who attend beach volleyball events. 680,000 will attend a tractor pull event each month. I didn't know they had those on a monthly basis, and that they had that many of them on a monthly basis. But apparently they do. 3 million people are what would be called muzzle loaders. You know what a muzzle loader is? You remember those old guns, you know, from frontier America days, that they'd put the ball down into the muzzle of the barrel, and they'd have the ramrod, and they would ram that down in. That's a muzzle loader. And there are that many people, some 3 million, who are involved in muzzle loader groups around the world. Some 38% of people entertain their friends or family at least, you know, once a year in what could be, I think, considered as these recreational kinds of activities. You know, what the other 62% of the people are doing apparently is they're mooching off of the 38% that are willing to entertain them. But nonetheless, I mean, you could just go on with the variety of ways in which people are seeking a leisure time in their lives. And apparently, we spend a rather significant amount of time on a daily basis, as an average, in doing that. And we spend a considerable amount of money as well. And from 2003, so this, you know, a decade old figure, but we spend about $224 billion to eat out. $191 billion on personal watercraft of various kinds, you know, boats or jet skis or surfboards or any other kind of water kind of type of craft. $25 billion is spent on gardening, and then $22 billion spent on hunting. And again, as I say, you can just go down the list, and I know there are lots of different, just within this group, if we compiled a list of what we like to do in our leisure time, there would be a variety of different things that would appear on that list. Well, I'm not so much concerned this evening with what might be considered our leisurely activities. But what I do want to talk with you about is the role that plays in our lives and how it relates to the Lord. And the first thing I want you to think about with me, based on this scripture that we have read, is I want you to think with me about how there is a necessity for this recreation, this recreation, or this leisure time in the lives of men and women. Mankind was created to need such times of recreation. Fact of the matter is, if we want to continue to work, if we want to continue to be effective in other ways, in ways that we would consider perhaps even more important than our leisurely activities, if we want to continue to effectively work in those other areas, we'll need this kind of rest and relaxation. I think that what we see in the example of what the Lord did in this text is that he acknowledged, that there is this importance for these kinds of activities. The text tells us that he took his apostles off away by themselves. He did this. Verse 31 says, because there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So, you know, we might say, well, this was a group of men who were, you know, workaholics. They were clearly very much involved in the work that they were doing with their Lord, and it required that they have some kind of a break from this if they wanted to be able to continue. Without relaxation, we become ineffective. Our labors become less efficient. And so we have to recognize that this is indeed a necessary part of our existence and of our lives. And so it's certainly appropriate. And I want to begin this by talking about the fact that it is, that I acknowledge this, that it is certainly appropriate that these kinds of time periods of leisure be engaged in. But now I want you to think with me also about the perspective of this kind of activity in our lives, the way in which this text that we've read indicates a perspective about these things. Verse 30, as we've read it, says the apostles gathered together with Jesus and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. The apostles told Jesus about what they had done and what they had taught. The point is, they had worked first. They had been engaged in these endeavors of working and teaching first. They had completed that task before these concerns about finding a period of rest, a time for relaxation, a time to be separate and alone and away from the work. Before any of that took place, the work actually took place first. Something had to precede their leisure, in other words, and it was their work of preaching the gospel. To say something is necessary is not to say that it is primary. To say that something is important and needed and significant is not to say that it is the most essential and important thing. And I think we see this borne out in this little glimpse into the life, into the working life of Jesus and his apostles when they were together for that 3-year period of time that the Gospels record. What we see are men engaged in effort and in work, and then also engaged in the necessary leisure and relaxation that came. I'll tell you what the shame of our culture is, and I don't know that it's necessarily something that's unique to us, but nonetheless, it is a part of us, it seems to me. The shame is how little we do before we become concerned about our leisure, about how little effort and work we put in to our lives, meeting our obligations, before we become concerned about, well, you know, I need a little break here. I need some entertainment and some relaxation. We have to keep our concern about recreation and leisure in its perspective, in its proper perspective. We are all too often tempted to forget what is truly important. If you look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, you'll find a familiar statement made by the Apostle Paul as he writes to Timothy. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 8 that bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Now, Paul is contrasting a couple of different things here. I admit to you that this is a verse that doesn't really address this matter of leisure. But I want you to notice what he says about perspective on things. He says there, in the way of bodily exercise in the way of bodily and physical improvements. There is some good in that. But it does not measure up, he says, to the exercise of godliness. Because godliness has its reward. It produces fruit, not only in the present life, but also in the life to come. And so what Paul says to Timothy is, you keep in mind this. You keep this perspective. That what is preeminent, what is important, is the exercise of godliness. Now, for our subject, I think it would be appropriate for us to draw a conclusion from what Paul says here, and that is that if bodily exercise, physical exertion, has some profit to it, and it does, in fact, produce then a need for relaxation and leisure, but if that exercise that produces that need for leisure is something that is secondary to the exercising of godliness, then so too must be the leisure that is needed in connection to that physical exercise. What Scripture urges us to remember is the significance and the importance that righteousness and godliness has over things of a physical concern. And so, it seems to me that when we read this passage about Jesus and his relating to his apostles regarding the work and about the rest that should come from their work, that what we need to understand is that what he says is that rest is necessary, but that rest is secondary. It's secondary to doing the work that is needed in the first place. The work is what is preeminent, and the rest is what is secondary. But I think we also can see, as we think about Scriptures and the teachings of Scriptures, that when we think about rest and relaxation and leisure and having those times of enjoyment that give us the break from our daily routines and our daily responsibilities, that we need to also always keep in mind the fact that it, like every other aspect of our life, needs to be decent. Needs to be appropriate. Jesus apparently often went to desert places in order to rest, in order to pray. What he did there, what did these apostles do when Jesus on this occasion took them off? I don't know. I don't know what they did. They might not have done anything. They may have just sat around for a few days and rested. Well, there may have been some other activities, things of enjoyment that they did in this time. I don't know what they did, but that really is not the point. The point is, I know they needed this, and I know that Jesus provided for it, and I know that it's appropriate for us as well to make such provisions in our lives. But whatever Jesus did with his apostles on this occasion, I know that it was decent. I know that there was nothing wrong with whatever activities they may have engaged in. Now you may say, okay, so what's the big deal about that? What's the big point? How many times have you heard people say something along the lines of, well, you know, my vacation's coming up next week, and boy, I am going to have a big time. And you know what they mean when they say something like that. They're talking about no restraints. This is going to be a time when I just cut loose and boy, everything's going to be done. That everything that I want to do. There are no limitations to what I'm going to do. Because why? Well, because I'm on vacation. Because this is the time for me to really have fun. Well, can you really conceive of Jesus and his apostles saying, okay, we've been so busy here preaching that we haven't even had time to eat, and so now we're going to go off to this secluded place and we're going to be alone, and boy, we are really going to cut loose. Well, of course he didn't do that. He didn't. I know whatever he did, though I don't know what he did, I know that whatever he did, There was no sin involved in it because he lived this life without sin. And even when he engaged in such things as rest and relaxation and leisure and times of enjoyment, he didn't sin in doing those things. It didn't become an occasion for just an ungoverned and limitless kind of activity on his part or his apostles. I don't know what you do when you have times of enjoyment. I don't know what you do when, and really what you do really isn't the point. Whether or not it's decent is what's the point. Or do you think that when you go off on these times of seclusion and times of vacation enjoyment or whatever, that you take a vacation from the Lord? That you have a break from the time when you must submit to Him and live as He approves of? Over in the book of Romans, chapter 13, the Apostle Paul writing there has this to say in the 13th verse. He says, "Let us behave properly as in the day." That is, as in the daytime. In the light of day. When our activities are exposed and known to all. "Let us behave properly as in the day. Not in carousing and drunkenness. Not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality. Not in strife and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regard to its lusts." Well, what I would say to you is that whatever the standard of right conduct is when you're not in times of leisure is the standard of right conduct when you are in leisure. Whatever is the right standard of dress when you are in not in leisure, times of leisure, is the right conduct of dress in times when you are engaged in leisure. Whatever is the right kind of conduct when we are not making a provision for things of the flesh when we are not in leisure is the same kind of right standard of conduct when we're not making provisions for the flesh in times of leisure. Paul uses the term there in verse 13, not in carousing. Some versions will use the term reveling there. And all in the world that word means is to let oneself go, to celebrate without restraint. And that is precisely what many people think, that leisure, vacation, breaks from times of work. That is exactly what they think it is a time for. But if our leisure is indeed going to be exercised in the view of the Lord, then decency must be a part of it. And then also I would say to you in closing that it appears to me that what we see there in Mark, the 6th chapter, is that there was a clear separation between the Lord's work and what these apostles were engaged in, what they came back telling the Lord about what they had done in their work and in their teaching. There was a clear separation between that and this time of respite, this rest, this time of leisure. There had been no leisure. It seems the point is there had been no leisure in Galilee in the work in which they had been involved. And now when Jesus takes them off to this separate place alone, there is leisure. I say that because there is a real effort that is made today to make things of recreation and leisure and play and all of those things that are good in and of themselves, to make those things a part of church, a part of religious activities. And what I would suggest to you is that that's inappropriate. That's just not something that we see done here in the Lord's administering of a time of leisure and rest and relaxation for His apostles. It's clearly distinct from the time of work. Just think for a minute. While these fellows were out in Galilee preaching, can you imagine how much more successful they would have been had they gone out telling folks about, well, you know, if you want to come follow Jesus, well, we're going to have a weekend fishing retreat. We've got boats. Most of us are experienced fishermen, and we're going to lead a fishing retreat. And if you want to be a follower of Jesus, well, just come on, and we'll have a great old time. I'll tell you something else. You may, if you're lucky, you may even get to see him walk on the water. I mean, can you imagine these folks making those kinds of connections between these two very distinct aspects of life, leisure and the gospel? Clearly, they did not do that. And when you go into the reading of the New Testament with the book of Acts and the epistles that follow, and you read things about the congregations of the Lord's church, and the things that they did and that they did not do, it becomes apparent that they did not make those kinds of appeals for the fun and games that are right and appropriate in their place. And the work that these folks were trying to do as a church, they didn't combine those things. You know, I think sometimes folks think, well, you know, of course they didn't. David, my goodness, don't you understand that those folks didn't have games back then? We're talking about ancient times. You ever heard of the Olympics? They had been around a long time before the New Testament came along. They had games. The Romans had no less than 5 kinds of ball games that they played. These folks enjoyed athletics as much, and actually probably more, than even our own society enjoys those things. Now, do you think it would have been an effective measure to attract people for those New Testament churches that we read about to have those kinds of activities, those kinds of games? I mean, imagine the young people they could have attracted. Problem is, you don't read about them doing it. And the reason for that is because they didn't do it. Not because it's wrong to play games. Not because it's wrong to have leisure and in times of enjoyment, but because that's just not part of the gospel's appeal. What those folks attracted people with was nothing more or less than the gospel. And as I know you've heard folks say, you know, before, when you begin to try to attract people with things other than the gospel, the problem with that is, what are you going to have to do to hold those people? What more are you going to have to provide in order to get them to remain? If all you have done is attract people with the gospel, those that are attracted by it are going to be happy to remain for nothing more than the gospel. Leisure time is fine. I wouldn't even say that of all, you know, the statistics that we've read about money spent and time invested and all of those things, I wouldn't say to you that those things are wrong, that it's inappropriate to spend money on leisure or to invest time in our leisure. But what we need to do is we need to keep those things separate from the things of the Lord, the things of the Lord's church. simply because the Lord kept it separate. And the Lord's people that we read about in the New Testament kept them separate. And so leisure is good, but we need to be careful about how we go about it, and that we keep it in its right place, and that we practice it in a decent and wholesome way, and that we keep it separate from the things that it has no part in when it comes to doing the Lord's work. We're all going to engage in it in some way or other, in different ways, but we need to be careful about how we go about it. Because we need to be careful about how we go about life in every aspect of life. That was what Paul was saying when he urged his brethren in Romans chapter 13 and verses 13 and 14, when he urged them not to make any provision for the things of the flesh. He was just telling them, be careful about how you go about living life. Make your choices wisely. Are you doing that? Are you making your choices about leisure and about every other part of your life? Are you making your choices wisely in regard to what the Scriptures teach? If you're not a Christian, the wise choice for you to begin making is to become a child of God and to become a Christian by giving your obedience to the gospel of Christ. If you've never done that, in this night, with your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, you would turn away from your sins and confess your faith. If you'd be baptized, wash the guilt of your sins from you, you'll be made a child of God. And you'll be ready to go about living your life without making provisions for the flesh, living it carefully in a way that does indeed please the Lord. If it's your desire to do that, then we stand ready to help you. I encourage you to come while we stand and sing.